I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. The book of Deuteronomy is the last of the books of the law known as the Pentateuch. It's known as a book of review. Moses was making preparations for Joshua to succeed him, and he was offering a reminder to the people of their responsibilities to God. Well, the 40 years of wandering were now over, and the promised land was in view. But Moses gave this review in the book of Deuteronomy because of a new generation, a new leader, new challenges, as well as new temptations. The people had endured much, and there would be more challenges ahead. But the plan of God had not changed. If they were to be successful in the new land, they needed to follow the direction that God had set forth for their fathers. And we're going to look in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, in just a moment, if you have your Bible handy. We live in a day that is unlike any we've known before. And we too are dealing with a new generation that seeks a different way. New leaders who seem to have abandoned the principles of our faith. New challenges that seem more difficult. And new temptations to seek a different path. Well, the words that Moses rehearsed in the ears of Israel thousands of years ago still hold relevance in our lives today. If we are to succeed and live as God intended, we must obey His commands. I want to look at the principles for living revealed in these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Our God has not changed, nor His ways. I want us to think on the thought in verse 4 where it says, "The Lord our God is one Lord." Think upon that thought, one Lord. Notice first with me, if you would, our awareness of God. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Well, Moses begins with a call to hear His words, words given of God. And he reminds them of the sovereignty of God. We must keep in mind that Israel had been prone to wander and seek after other gods. While Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments, the people had convinced Aaron to make them a golden calf to worship. You may be aware of that. Well, their journey from Egypt had been plagued with idol worship. And Moses reminded the people that God alone is Lord. Now, this is a very important statement. The Lord our God is one Lord. Moses refers to God with two distinct yet different names. He is Lord. And this is in the uppercase, L-O-R-D. This is the same name, Jehovah, and it refers to God as the I Am, the self-existent one. It literally means Redeemer and is always associated with redemption. He also refers to Him as God. Now, this is the Hebrew word Elohim, meaning the strong one, one who puts forth power. It is God's creative name, and it's a plural noun speaking of the Trinity. So what does all that mean to us? Is there an application for our day? Sure there is. We're living in a time much like that which Israel faced. The situation may be different, but the circumstances are much the same. What we need in America, especially among the church, is a newfound awareness of the sovereignty of God. He is Lord, and He is God. And I can assure you that if we would see God for who He truly is, our lives would be lived much differently. Our worship would be transformed. Our churches would be filled because others would desire to see what we were so consumed with. Now, we need an awakening of the reality of God in our lives. Well, our awareness of God is seen in verse 4, and then we see our affection for God in verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Moses wasn't only reminding the people to be aware of who God is, but to offer the heartfelt affection that he deserves. We're to love the Lord. This affection involves two aspects that we need to consider. First, our affection is to be personal. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6. Moses reminded them that this wasn't a God who was unknown to them. He wasn't a God that they had just heard about, but they had experienced God all along the way. He was their God. He had shown himself mightily in their lives. He had brought them out of bondage and supplied their needs. He'd cared for them and provided a land of promise for them to dwell in. And he was worthy of their love and affection because he was their God. Well, here's the application. Our God isn't a God who is far away. He isn't a God that we've just read about in the pages of his word, the Bible. He isn't a God that only offers for others to serve or have the privilege to know. He is our God. He came to us when we were in bondage to sin. He set us free and redeemed us. He cares for us daily and meets our needs. And surely we ought to love the Lord for all that he's done for us. If we, God's people, can't love him, who can? Well, our affection is to be personal, and it's also to be profound. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Moses goes on to reveal the conditions of personal love for God. It isn't a love that should be passive or inconsistent. It isn't a love that should ebb and flow like the tide. Israel had fallen victim to that in the past. God would prove himself mightily among them, and their love would be strong. God wanted that to happen, but sadly, it didn't take long until their love had faded and they were murmuring against the God who blessed them. Moses spoke of a love that was consuming, not one that was constantly changing. He spoke of a love that we should have for our loving God, and that is loving him with all our heart, soul, and might. In essence, we are to love God with all our being. Everything about us ought to be consumed with loving the Lord. Our lives ought to be built upon that love. Our love for God ought to be and ought to do what he wants us to do. This should be what drives our existence. Well, I'm convinced that far too often our love for God isn't all that it should be. If we were literally consumed with a love for the Lord, we wouldn't behave the way that we do sometimes. If we love the Lord as we should, our lives would be lived in light of his holiness. We would have an overwhelming desire to be in his house. We would have a hunger for his word. We would have a love and compassion for his people. We would offer worship unto his lovely name. Oh, how we need to be consumed with a love for the Lord and to share that love with other people. Do you remember how it was when you first fell in love? You were consumed with that love. Your life seemed to revolve around that love. And that is what we need with the Lord. We need to love him in such a way that our days are planned with the intent of spending time with him. As we go through our daily routines, he needs to be the subject of our thoughts. That is a profound and consuming love. That is what we need to develop for Jesus. Well, we've seen our awareness of God and our affection for God. Well, notice now our allegiance to God should be in verses 6 through 9, what it should be. Not only were the people to be aware of God and possess a proper affection for him, but their lives were to be lived in allegiance to him. And this allegiance is based upon the Word of God. We must be committed to the Word as God commands. This involves more than a casual reading of the Bible once in a while. There are several aspects of our allegiance that we need to consider. First, I see the scope of our allegiance in verse 6. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Well, the Word of God wasn't just to be heard and forgotten. It wasn't to be read and laid aside. It was to be taken to heart. It was to be hidden within the heart and meditated upon. God knew that if His Word was within their hearts, that He would direct their paths. Their lives would follow Him if His Word was within. The Bible says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119:105. We need to hide God's Word within our hearts. It must be the authority for all that we do in life. Far too often we live as we please rather than according to God's Word. When His Word isn't within our hearts, that is when we stray and miss the mark. We should be able to say, as the psalmist said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Psalm 119:11. Well, there's the scope of our allegiance, and you can read on in verse 7. You see the responsibility of our allegiance, and then you also see the reach of our allegiance in verse 7. But we read on and we find that there is the resignation of our allegiance. That doesn't mean we stop. That means that we're determined. Verse 8 says, "And thou shalt bind them," that's the Word of God, "bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." Frontlets were small adornments worn on the head that contained particular passages of Scripture. The Jews would bind them upon their bodies as a reminder of the Word of God. It was also an outward testimony to their submission and commitment to serve the Lord. Are we bound by the Word of God? Do we live each day in submission to His will? Are we resigned to fulfilling that which God desires of us? Genuine allegiance will submit to the authority and will of God. And finally, there is the reminder of our allegiance in verse 9. "And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Consider the impact that this practice would have had on the Israelites. When they left in the morning, the Word of God was written upon the gates they passed through. When they returned in the evening, the Word was written on the doorpost. This served as a constant reminder of their obligation to the Lord. We too need those reminders in our daily lives. We need to leave out each morning reminded of our Lord. If we would begin each day with Christ on our minds, it would make a difference throughout the day. When we get home in the evening, we need to be reminded of the Lord. This would stand as a challenge concerning our commitment to Him each day. Did I do all that I could have for His glory? Was I a positive witness for the Lord? No doubt, we all need to be reminded of our obligation to serve the Lord. May the Lord bless you as you continue to serve Him as a saved person. And if you've never been saved, may you ask Him to come into your heart this very day.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.